When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Alyssa Amoroso, aka Publicity, who is ready to spill some tea. Because this is Tea with Publicity.
Hey guys, as a reminder, today's episode is brought to you by Macy's, and the holidays are here. Halloween is pretty much basically here. Thanksgiving's coming. The holiday season is among us. So don't forget to get ahead of your holiday shopping with Macy's Gift Finder. They've got a bunch of different ways for you to search for gifts, like shopping by price, shopping by the receipt, shopping by gift list. There are so many options. You can go to Macy's.com/gift finder to find gifts for everyone. This really helps me because everything's categorized into different sections. So everything's super organized on their website. You can get everything for your entire holiday season. Again, it's Macy's.com/gift finder, and you will find everything you need for this holiday season. Let's get into today's episode. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Tea with Publicity. I launched a brand. Yep, you heard that right. I launched Tea with Publicity. The tea, my binge watch black tea, is my first flavor. And you guys will see it here if you're watching on YouTube. And I couldn't be more blessed and thankful and grateful. I mean, how do I even get into this? So first of all, a little backstory. This idea came to me after I moved to LA. I was driving in the car one day and I was like, I want to launch a tea. I've always thought I wanted to launch a tea, but I was like, is that a hard tea? Is that a liquor? Is that a canned beverage? Like, what does that look like? Is that tea bags? So I had this idea come to me and I was driving and I was like, binge watch black tea. That's what I'm naming my first flavor. And the thing is, like, at that point, I didn't even know what that looked like. I just knew I loved that name and I knew I loved the concept. And I started just brainstorming and I was like, where tea meets reality TV and pop culture. And this is the thing. There's so many tea brands on the market, but they're all super serious and super stuffy. And they're all about like de-bloating and like relaxing and going to sleep. And I'm not saying I'm never going to launch a tea that de-bloats you, because let's be honest, everyone bloats. But what I want to do is make tea drinking cool. Like, why is it only cool to drink coffee? No, tea drinking is so cool. My favorite flavor on this planet is black tea with fresh lemon, which is why I launched that flavor first. So I have black tea infused with notes of lemon. So the lemon is actually infused into the tea blend. And then what I like to do is put fresh lemon in it to make it extra lemony. You don't need sweetener. If you want sweetener, more power to you. But I personally like it as is. And I just think it's like the best thing ever. It tastes so good. And anyway, okay, let me keep going about the concept. So then I decided to trademark sip it while you spill it, because I was like, wait, I want people to sip the tea while they spill the tea. The concept is that you're sitting on the couch with your friends watching Vanderpump Rules, watching The Real Housewives, watching The Bachelor, and you're sipping the tea while spilling the tea, because again, tea drinking could be fun. It could be social. You can mix it in with alcohol. You could have it to hype yourself up. It doesn't have to be this like bedtime thing. It could be fun and it could be social. And that's where this idea was truly born. I decided to keep the name Tea with Publicity instead of creating a whole new name, because like it just seamlessly obviously fits into the brand. And then as a backstory, I grew up in a household of non-coffee drinkers. My dad has never had coffee a day in his life. Ever. My mom doesn't drink coffee ever. Like, she just doesn't have caffeine. So I grew up with a father that only drank tea and a mother that was obsessed with pop culture. She would read the National Enquirer, like the old school gossip mags. I would like always have the magazines in the house. I grew up watching The Real World. Like, that was like what raised me, tea and pop culture. Years later, ironically, I have this podcast, Tea with Publicity, and it's like serendipitously everything's fallen together. And At last, we have Tea with Publicity, the real life representation of everything I love. Pop culture, design, decor, tea drinking, fun, beautiful architecture, everything. And as you guys can see, if you're watching on video or if you've seen on social media, my packaging is made to look like a coffee table book. And I think that's what really sets this brand apart, because I feel like as an influencer, I get so many packages and I'm just like getting rid of the boxes and it's so wasteful. So I was like, how can I make my packaging not only sustainable, but also look beautiful? So each box that the tea comes in looks like a coffee table book. It even has the white pages. It has this like really pretty off-white top and back cover. It has writing on the back cover and it opens literally like a book. My loose leaf tea is inside. And you could stack this on your bookshelf, put it on your coffee table, rest your remote control on it if you're binge watching your favorite show. And the concept here is that each flavor will come in a different box and eventually you'll be able to stack them all as you would stack books on a coffee table or on a bookcase. And yeah, I'm just really excited. I'm gonna give this sample here today, not even sample, product here today to my guest that I am recording with soon. I'm recording with Victoria Brown Garrick. I need to ask her if it's Garrick Brown or I think it's Garrick Brown. You know, when someone gets married, you're like, what last name do you go by? So we'll clarify that with her. But yeah, last night was the launch party of my tea. And it was so nice to see my friends across LA come out to celebrate me. I had every single pop culture girly in the space there. I had Jess the Reporter. I had Colt Paulson, you know, Colt with a K. I had Evan Real. He's a reporter at Page Six. I had Louis Levante, just like literally Lauren Ashley Beck, every single person in LA that I've met that does pop culture, Courtney from The Circle, like they were all there. I had someone from Selling Sunset. My goal was really to invite reality stars and people in the media who work in the entertainment space. And I had Ernie there as well as my parents, and like they couldn't get over how nice everyone was, because I think when you think of like LA influencer event, you expect it to be this like snobby stuck up thing. And everyone in my life was like, wow, these are the nicest people I've ever met. And I'm like, yeah, because I only associate with nice people. Hello. Like that's just how it is. But the event was amazing. I will do a full vlog recapping behind the scenes of making this brand, making the product, the launch party. That will be a separate video. But in the meantime, let's get into today's episode. Okay, guys, I am here with Victoria Garrick Brown. Welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me. And I love your accent.
Wait, stop. You noticed one?
Yes, but that's my family is from the Midwest. I was born in Chicago. So any type of like Garrick or Doc or Pop, like it feels like my mother. I love it.
Probably because my parents were just in town, and when they're in town, it comes out more.
Yeah, I feel like the same happens for my mom when she's like with her cousins.
It's so funny. I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, my daughter. I don't even have a daughter, but you know what I mean. Yeah. Those are the words.
My
like,
daughter took the dog.
Yeah, for some coffee.
Yeah.
Wait, that's so funny. Except we don't drink coffee; we drink tea.
Yeah.
But anyway, I am so excited to first of all meet you, because I feel like we've like run in like similar circles, know similar people, and even at events, like our paths have never crossed.
I know.
Which is surprising.
Yeah, and I just love your energy from this first 3 minutes. Oh, we need to cross paths more.
I know. I know. Well, you're friends with Ella, and I'm like, okay, if she's friends with Ella, then like we'd be
cool. Who is Ella not friends with?
I know. But Ella's too one of those people, just like good energy off the bat. And I'm just like,
I owe all my friends in LA to Ella. Stop.
So how long have you been in LA?
I came out here for college. I went to USC. So I've been here since 2015. Graduated 2019 and stayed out here.
I want to kind of get into your like rise to social media and all of that with my followers who may not be as familiar with you. Obviously, so many people are familiar
with
you.
No, I'm like, no one knows me. Hi, I'm Victoria.
Like, hi, nice to meet everyone. Yeah. But like, let's do like a Cliff Notes version of like from college, from athlete, like how you got to be this like social media person that people really rely on for positivity and real advice and just like motivation, I want to say, overall.
Well, thank you. And the journey to get here is windy and unexpected. Mm-hmm. I never thought that I would be doing this. Like, seriously. So I thought I was going to be a sports broadcaster. I majored in journalism. But, you know.
I can see that for you.
Thanks. I played volleyball at USC. So I was a college athlete. And I started kind of using my desire to tell stories to kind of shed light on what I felt like was an unspoken problem within college athletics, which is the mental health crisis facing athletes. And I gave a TED Talk on that my sophomore year, and that was kind of the
But like, how do you just like go into giving a TED Talk?
You That's don't, what I want to know. But it's like how many I can get. Whenever
you want
to
granular.
Sure, whenever you want to stop me, we can like caveat. But
pivot.
I basically, I mean, do you want the long, medium, or
I just want to know, like, if, like, had you started talking about these things openly on social media, and that's what led you to gaining this following?
So I was not, like, any sort of content creator influencer, had any sort of, you know, following intentionally. I mean, I had some extra few hundred followers for being on the USC volleyball team, like, you know, the local fans and supporters, which is great. But no more followers than, like, probably the average college girl.
Got it.
However, the first thing I ever did that kind of like, I guess, put me on the map of like starting to speak out was my one professor said, will you write an article for Women in Sports Day? I think it was. And I was in her class and she was like, can you write about NIL? And I was like, sure. Like at the time I was like, oh my God, I can write for a magazine. I'm a journalism student. That would be great. But as I sat down to write this article, also I can't stop, my intrusive thoughts are like, what's wrong with your finger? Anyways,
like,
I'm like, oh my God, James, what is that? No. I sat down to write this on NIL and I just kept thinking like, all I really want to talk about is my body image, like, and how I'm struggling with that. Like, it's a day for female athletes and I get to write one thing and like, I'm trying to write this smart article about inequality, which is so important. But like, what was tugging at my heart was like how insecure I felt in my uniform, the issues I was having with food. So I instead wrote this article on body image and it was called How I Learned to Love My Body as a Female Athlete. And it went like really viral, like 80,000 Facebook shares. Like, I didn't expect it. My professor didn't expect it. And from there, I started to get like some Instagram messages, some Facebook messages, and was kind of the first time I like had spoken out about something and realized that I could do that. And then when the TED Talk happened, it was just an email I saw that was sent to this different groups at the school. And it was a TEDx talk, so TEDx USC. And I think the topic was like something like on the edge, like innovation. I mean, someone else gave a TEDx talk that you're a student on like stem cell research for like same-sex children. Like, it was, you know, I didn't go with the theme. I just saw that they were looking for people to tell a story and I knew that I had one to tell. And so I applied at the last minute. I got called back. I got called back a second time. Then I got dropped, which I think is always important when people fear rejection or getting no's. Like, I literally had a committee of people decide, like, I wasn't good enough. My story wasn't good enough. Like,
my whole life I've been rejected. Like, every job. Like, I say that I just to interrupt for that one point because I think it's so important to tell, like, other women or other people out there. It's like, most of the people that are really successful, it didn't just like happen overnight. It's like we got tons of rejection along the way. I still get rejection every single day.
Me too.
I want to have someone on my podcast, go on a different show, do this, do that. No, 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 no. People close doors on you.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's kind of what builds like character.
And one of my favorite inspirational quotes is, if you go after literally everything you want in life, you're going to lose more times than win, but win more than most people. And I think,
wow, that really hits for me.
I think that's the key of successful people is like, they've lost more than you, but they've also gone after more than you. And so as a result, like, they're going to get more of those yeses.
Wait, that really hits me because that's like that my quote. Life motto that I live by, but I just never put words to it.
That's my life motto I've never heard before.
I've never heard it, but that's how I live my life.
Yeah. Well, I love that. I'll text it to you later.
I love it.
So, yeah, everyone said no, and I got the rejection letter. But then I think it was either that night or the next day, I got a follow-up that said, actually, we would like to see you one more time. Can you meet us at the library at 7? It was, like, you know, one last-minute time slot, clearly at, like, not a time they were conducting interviews. And I later found out that the president of the committee, shout-out to Winnie, who I'm still in touch with to this day, was like, no, I like this girl and I like what she has to say and I think she has conviction. And so it was the president of the committee, this one person that like overruled the majority vote. And then I gave that TEDx talk and it's the most viewed TEDx talk out of USC. And it almost never happened.
I have the chills. it's really, I think what's so cool about your story is that you felt compelled to write about something that was personal to you. First of all, I want to talk about the fearlessness that goes with that because I think it's really brave. Like, you didn't have a social media platform. So for you to put this out amongst, at the time, you probably just thought your peers would see it. And, like, yeah. You didn't know.
No, I truly, which for how strategic, and I like to say I'm a mastermind, yeah. I wasn't thinking about it becoming this. I never thought I would, like, become a public speaker.
Totally.
It genuinely did stem from that desire of, like, I hope another athlete who Googles I'm depressed will find this because I remember not finding anything like this.
But, like, did you have fear around people in your life? Like, I feel like when I've been at my most depressed or unhappy with my body, I'm lying to everyone around me because I don't. It's like a vulnerability thing to be like, yeah, I'm not okay.
I fully did that. Like, I did the cover up, act like I'm fine, yeah. Facetune my body, post a happy picture when I'm crying. I did that my entire freshman year. And then once I started going to therapy and seeking help and, like, got on antidepressants and, like, started to realize, oh, it's not me who's the problem. Like, here's this environment that I'm in this high stress situation and this pressure. And whether someone is a D1 athlete or not, like, if you're experiencing a mental health issue in life, that makes sense. Like, the state of the world that we live in, the pressures we all experience and face, the family dynamics, the desire to achieve, to pay your rent, like, everyone in the world, like, it makes sense, especially after COVID. I feel like that was really the year where that magic wand of, like, let's reveal that no one's okay. So, you know, it was that, and I hope that empowers people to be honest about how they're feeling. So it was that then gave me the courage to say, wait, I want to talk about this because I don't want any other person to feel like it's their fault or they shouldn't speak out or they should feel ashamed. So, like, it took me a while, but once the light switch went on of, oh, this is a societal issue within sports culture, it's like I felt like it was me and the people I was representing against, like, something that needed attention.
100%. I also feel like just from knowing people that were in athletics their whole life, aside from, like, the mental health that comes with it, I also noticed a lot with career where people that were, like, career athletes that played a fall, a spring, summer, fall, winter sport, whatever they played every season, they never had internships or jobs or whatever. So then when they graduate, let's say they're a high school athlete into a college athlete and then they graduate college, I noticed so many people would be lost because it was their entire identity. And it was like, well, what do I like? Like, I like football, but wait, I'm not good enough to play in the NFL. Or maybe that's just not their path. But it's like, wait, but I never had another job. And it's like, I noticed that as well where there's just this kind of, like, hyperfixation on the sport and then little on, like, what you actually desire outside of that one sport.
Yeah. The whole identity after sports is a major, major issue, and it's so common, and it can be really challenging. And to kind of answer the first question you asked me of, like, how did I even get here on social media, you know, I felt like I really understood my purpose nearing graduation, that, like, I wanted to continue talking about this and doing this work. And so I feel grateful that I didn't feel like I left college, like, what do I do now? I have no idea what I want to do with my life. So I had the guidance and I went into public speaking and I continued that. And then I got on TikTok and then I was growing my podcast, and, like, it all just kind of snowball affected really naturally. But I feel like my identity crisis was, like, postponed and delayed, and I feel like I just went through it and still am, like, on the way out of it this past year. Like, I think 2023 I'll look back on as, like, a year I really felt like I was giving myself permission to be multifaceted and be different things, because I was known as the athlete mental health advocate, or specifically the USC volleyball player, for such a long time. And then I even felt like with public speaking, I love the work that I get to do and I love to help students, but I also when I do that, put myself in a place where mentally I'm going to perform and recite trauma from my past. And it's like, I don't feel that way now. I don't suffer in that way now. And that really did take a toll on me where I thought, you know, it's weirdly more fun for me to talk about my outfits right now than it is to talk about my binge eating. Like, I used to make content all the time about body image, and I like rarely do. Mm-hmm. I have an idea that I want to post recently because I've had that voice come back in of, should you lose 10 pounds? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Like, oh, she's
so
back.
You know, I'll make a post about that because it's like, that's how I'm feeling now.
Yes.
But this, like, let me plan out my content and like retell, you know, how my binge eating developed. Like, I'm just slowly getting fatigued and I'm wanting to meet myself in the present moment.
Wait, I think that's really an interesting thing that you bring up, because I got my first like initial chunk of followers on TikTok from talking about mid-size fashion. Like, that's what my first video was that blew up. I don't talk about my body at all anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, because like you said, I'm doing the work to not focus on it every single day. Why am I gonna subject myself to talking? Because it's trauma. Like, I don't want, like, if I'm trying to see myself just as like a girl who's just existing and living and happy, why am I gonna put emphasis on my body? I don't wanna do a try on video and be like, well, this, like, I don't like the way this fits because I don't like this part of my, I'm not trying to call attention to it to myself.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to heal. So it's like,
I completely
get that.
It's hard
to talk about it. So I don't, like, I actually don't even talk about that at all anymore. And I feel like sometimes, like, my videos won't perform as well because the people that followed me for that niche, I don't post that content anymore. So, like, it kind of, like, flops.
But that's where you have that, when I talk about the, like, going through the identity crisis, it's like that feeling of all these people want this thing from me. I don't feel like that's me anymore. Yep. I'm aligned with it. And so giving yourself permission to blossom into the interest or even explore them. You might not even know what they are. Mm-hmm. And I think whether anyone listening, like whether you create content or not, this could be like your whole family, your whole life thought you were the artist or thought you were the singer. And like, or everyone was so excited for you to get that six-figure job at a school and you realize you hate it. And now you want to completely try something else and you're interested in giving tattoos. Like, I think this is like a part of everyone's life is we grow up forming an identity around who we are. Our parents and our friends also form an identity around who we are. But like, life is long, depending how you look at it. And we need to allow ourselves to not be so boxed in.
100%. And I feel like I fight that every day.
Yeah.
That urge to do what I was taught is the right path and what I think is the right path for me as I figure it out myself.
And it's like so much judgment.
Yeah.
Think about the judgment that voice in our head is like compiling on us every day. Like, you need to do that. You shouldn't do that. You got to be here. It's like that voice of judgment. I've been trying to really become aware of it because I feel like I'll tell myself, oh, it's self-awareness. It's having perspective. It's being really
realistic.
Like, or smart about what I'm building in business. Like, and it's like, no, I think I'm just being incredibly hard on myself and judging everything. Like, I'm a human and I'm just trying my best.
Could I ask you something really interesting that just popped into my mind? I went to therapy straight on for like probably 2.5 years. And about 6 months ago, I stopped. And I hit this point where I was like, I kind of felt like I was at the end of the road where I was going to my sessions and I was like what am I going to talk about this week? Because at that point, I felt like I've identified 10 things, let's say, that I need to work on. She's given me the tools and it's like, I need to put them in practice and stop talking about it. And it's so weird because I feel like when I let my therapist go, I was no longer tethered to my analytical like part of my brain of being like, okay, I'm trying to think how to like articulate this clearly.
I fully get what you're saying. I do think that that's a really important thing to identify is when you've outgrown an issue or you've said everything you could say and you've assessed yourself in every single way. And I have gone in stints where I'm not in therapy because I feel like I have nothing to say. I'm happy. Like, And then I have times where I want to go back. And right now I'm at an every other week cadence mm-hmm. because we were doing every week last year. And then I realized I don't really need it every week. So we're going to do every other. And maybe I'll slowly need less. So mm-hmm. I love that you had the realization and the awareness to say like, I think I can let go of the like safety net in a way and just allow myself to put some of these things to practice.
Safety net. That's the word. I feel like I was going as I feel like it was almost keeping me tied to the things that I wanted to change because I was revisiting them every week instead of just actually living my life and changing them. Because it to me, it was almost like this project. Like, okay, I have to talk about this in therapy next week. Oh, okay, I still need to work on this. Instead of just working on it. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I feel like when I like cut that cord a little bit, I actually was able to just implement the change. So I was curious if for you, if you've ever felt that like sometimes the hyper focus on our mental health, I feel like for myself, made me more hyper focus on it than if I just lived a little bit and stopped focusing on like, is this the right thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? Like, I was like, I got to cut myself a little slack.
Yeah, I think there's truth to that. And I do think it is kind of descriptive of this idea of judgment. Like if every day you're like, do I have good mental health? Do I have bad mental health? Where's my emotional state at? Should I be meditating? Should I be journaling? Like that is judging and it's not just experiencing. And so I think when it comes to anything I'm going through in life, it's trying to experience it and not judge it. And, you know, I need to be better at practicing what I preach. Like I know on paper what the thing is I should do, which is that judgment. But then some days you're just not feeling like it, or you have to meet yourself where you're at.
100%. I feel that way. And I feel like this year, like moving here to LA, it was like I gave myself that freedom to break out of those barriers like we talked about, you know, I grew up in a family where it was like, we're Italian, we live in New Jersey, everyone lives here, we marry people that have these types of careers. And finally I got to a point where I was like, I don't like that kind of guy. Wait, I don't really like I kind of want to live on the West Coast. Like, I kind of want to do this. And I feel like as adults, we have to allow ourselves the freedom to be like, what do I want? And like, not what my parents want or whatnot. Like, what do I want outside of like what society or the little community I grew up in has taught me that I want?
Definitely.
And do you feel that way with like going to USC and coming here and doing this like untraditional career path? It's like, I'm sure you never pictured your life being this way at all. And there's like these barriers that you have to break down to be like, wait, I'm a public speaker, like talking about my mental health and like my deepest thoughts.
Being like truthful, I really felt like my family and the encouragement was always like sky's the limit. So I don't necessarily feel like I've done something so against the mold where people look at me like you didn't stick to our status quo, which is like, I'm grateful that I have that. I feel that makes sense. And I almost feel like I relate to that in terms of the beginning of my career being very much in that like role model category and like having that priming of, you know, we signed autographs for the volleyball fans and, you know, we had to be mindful of what we put on social media and like the you know, young girls who wanted to play volleyball at USC would watch us. So like, I think for me, it's, I relate to like trying to redefine like what I think it is to be a role model and like allowing myself to break out of the box, even if that means like some parents might, I don't know. Not that I'm ever going to do anything so bad, but like,
yeah, not, same. I'm like, not, I'm so vanilla. Like,
I'm just like, when I was like 21, I was closer to like that role model for a 16, 17 year old volleyball player. And now I'm like, I'm 26, but I'm like, I feel like I'm almost 30 and I just need to do like what I want to do and not think about, being that role model.
Like perfect for other people. It's like, what's perfect for you?
Yeah. And you know, a lot of it's in my own head, and I've been 100%. Super candid about this on my podcast Real Pod and with my audience. And you know, I've had people say my community, I fucking love them, they're so sweet, and I've had people say, I don't mind that you don't post about your eating disorder anymore. I love it. I love seeing someone live their life and it not be a part of it. It gives me hope that I'll get out of mine and it won't be a part of my life. And then I've had people also tell me, you know, your content might have served people, you know, 3 years ago at the time who were going through this. And now the people who are trying to find their personal style, or they just got married, or they, you know, whatever it is, like, now your content is serving that group. And like, 100%. It will just keep changing. But I can't try to mold myself to be something for others. And I think that that goes to people just in like family dynamics, you know.
100%.
You have to realize, like, at some point you're an adult and you can't be the caretaker in this arena. You can't be the glue, or you can't make sure everyone does everything they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I've just had a lot of like letting go, I feel, be the guiding philosophy of for a lot of things in my life recently.
Yeah, it's weird because like like, how do I say this? But when you talk to someone else who's done the work, it's evident. And like, I talk to you and I'm like, oh, like, she's been like, I could tell.
I'm like, I could cry. I'm like, it's always like in the background of mine.
Yeah. Like, no, but like, you've learned, like, you could just tell when people have like put the time into themselves. And I think that that's like so important, because sometimes like if you're doing the work and other people in your life aren't, you kind of feel like you could maybe outgrow those relationships a little bit, because you're all of a sudden looking at the world like in color and they're still looking at it in black and white, maybe. Mm-hmm. Or whatever the comparison is. And I think that that's why your audience probably feels so connected to wherever you're at, because I think about some of the podcasts that I've listened to for years on end, like 5 years, 6 years, and I've grown with those people. Like, maybe they were single and now they're married, and it's like I've watched them go through this experience, and it's like you're on this journey with them.
Right.
And that's like what life is. Like, if you were molding yourself to what you think people wanted to hear, and if I was doing that, then maybe, I always say, maybe I'd have more followers if I sacrificed my integrity a little bit, but I'm not willing to sacrifice my integrity.
Yeah, I don't think that that's worth it in the long run. You won't be happy.
Miserable life. I always say that. I'm like, yeah, I can come on here and talk about like sex or drugs or like whatever people talk about that get them clickbaity views.
Yeah.
But would I be able to rest my head on the pillow and feel good about the content I'm putting out? No.
If it doesn't feel like aligned to you.
Exactly. Hey, if I feel great about that, go for it. Like, no judgment to anyone that does anything. But yes, I feel like there were times in my life where I acted outside of my integrity and it's never felt good. Mm-hmm. And I've been like, wait, why did I say that? Like, that's not like the kind of person I want to be, or like the image I want to put out there. Does anything ever like stand out to you where you made a choice that was maybe like a little bit like outside of your integrity because of like you think that's what people wanted or something?
I've always been pretty steadfast with like my morals and my values. I was never anyone who could be peer pressured. I just didn't have that. Like, I didn't drink. I was like one of the last of my friends to drink in high school, and I like no one was gonna shame me about it. Like, I was proudly like, no, I'm fine, until like the day that I wanted to do it. I would say like I do sometimes think back on like my younger self, and I just wasn't as aware. Like, I was very focused on me and my friends. And, you know, once I went to college and like I was excluded from the team activity, or I offered to drive a group of girls and they were like, oh no, we're already going in so-and-so's car. And I'm like, okay, so I'm gonna drive alone. And when did you guys make that plan? And why wasn't I included? Like, I started to think, oh my gosh, have I ever made someone feel this way? Like, when I was in high school and me and my friends had a group chat, or we sat at lunch together, and like, you know, do I ever feel like I targeted someone? No. Like, but was I not thinking about other people's feelings and only focused on myself? Yes. Like, I grew up in this very privileged bubble. So I think that's where like sometimes, but then I tell myself, it's like you only can do the best you could at the time. And like
100%.
I think that's the grace I try to give everyone else. And I think to what you were just saying about some people don't do the work, one of my favorite things to think about is like, people can only act to their level of consciousness, and it has nothing to do with you. It's just like how the version of me who was 17, if someone told her about depression and anxiety, she would have been like, eh, this isn't for me. I gotta go to volleyball like and text my friends. But now I'm like, oh, I've been depressed. I fully empathize and I get like what that means. And
I completely agree.
I can take it in. Like, so, you know, And I try to make sure that anything I'm doing in my life, like, I want to show up with compassion. I want to try not to judge other people, even though that's so hard. I feel like, you know, I'm watching Survivor right now, and I'm like,
love Survivor.
Oh my God, are you watching the current season?
Yes.
And I'm thinking, like, this person, I'm like, is so annoying in my head. And then they do, and they show their background story of where they come from and what they're there for. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I love them. I totally understand why they act this way. Uh-huh. It's like, we always say, don't judge a book by a cover, by its cover, but it's like, the human thing to do is like, let me put identity, let me put labels, let me make this make sense to me.
One, I just related so hard to everything that you said, because when I like perceive myself growing up, I'm like, oh my God, I was so nice to everyone. Like, I was so welcoming. I was so this. And then like one time years later, my friend was like, oh, well, the feedback someone from outside of our friend group told me was that it's not that you were mean, but you just like didn't really give a shit about anyone but your friends. And I was like, what? Like, because the way I perceived myself was like, wait, I loved everyone. Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And then when I heard that feedback, it's kind of like what you said. If you don't have the consciousness, you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not aware. But like, as an adult now, you can look back at things and be like, I like, there were things I was very aware of, but then I guess there weren't, because I heard that feedback. Like, for example, I was aware of, like, when I was a freshman, I was bullied really badly by the sophomores, juniors, and seniors. Like, they would yell things at me. Someone kicked me, like, crazy shit. I was like really like hardcore bullied, because for literally doing nothing, by the way, let me add, because like I basically kind of stemmed from, like, if let's say I was a freshman and like a junior guy had a crush on me, the junior girls would yell whore at me down the hallway when I never even had kissed anyone, like, God, literally virgin.
I hate the 2000s.
No, so awful. So like, I was always so heavily bullied that I viewed myself as like this victim, kind of. Mm. So you don't know, because that's my perception was that like I would go home crying from school. But you really don't know. But I made it my goal to be like, okay, when freshmen come in, I never want to treat them the way that I was treated as a freshman. Whereas some people go the opposite, where they're like, I was hazed, so I'm going to haze those girls.
Yeah. No, I'm a big believer of like giving what you never received.
Yes, so am I. Because I'm like, once you have that awareness, it's like, why the hell would I ever make this person feel how awful? And I feel that way in business too. It's like my bosses like haze the shit out of me. I like think, again, how I perceive it is that I treat my assistant like gold. Like, because I'm like, I don't want her to feel like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's all about like learning and adapting to things. And like, now I feel like I'm almost so hyper aware of like everyone's feelings around me that sometimes I'm like, you gotta chill. Like, I take on other people's emotions too much.
I've had to really try to like work on some like exposures with that.
Yeah.
And I talk about this like with my therapist, because I do feel like, you know, in the beginning you're like a positive platform where people go to for positivity. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's like, I know that that's what I'm known for, but I'm also normal, and I have days mm-hmm. where I'm cranky and I'm snappy to my mom or to Max, and like mm-hmm. I'm human. And like, most of the time, am I bubbly and positive? Yes. But like, I feel that like I do this thing where like I flip on, and I've been trying to not do that and just stay like what feels most me. Because the version of me that like flips on, it can also cause me to be like anxious and to have these really low come downs and like feel like it's for the approval of others or the validation that they think I'm nice and they think that I'm these things. And so I remember like going to give a talk at a school recently, and my therapist being like, okay, like when you meet the students, like just be yourself, just talk to them the way you would talk to anyone. And I was like, okay, like I got to do this. And so I showed up, and there was, you know, a student really excited to meet me and bring me to the green room. And I was just like being myself and trying not to be like, hi, oh my God, which I get from my mom. Yeah. And so I was just like what I would say normal. And I remember getting into my green room and thinking, oh my God, she probably thinks that girl, like she probably doesn't like me now and thinks blah, blah, blah. I'm telling myself all these things. And then like after the talk is over, I like see that girl again. And I'm like, so great to meet you. And I'm like, sorry if I wasn't super talkative earlier. Like, I just need to stay in the zone. And she was like, what? She was like, I loved hanging out with you. And then the other girl was like, yeah, she came out and said how nice you were. And I'm like, you know, it's like we are so judgmental that if I'm not tap dancing, like I'm not I'm not meeting the expectations I feel like they have of me, you know?
Yes. No, I'm literally the same way, because like I'll have like a follower come up to me and I'll like say hi or whatever. And then whoever I'm with, a friend, I'll be like, was I okay to that person? And they'll be like, you were so nice. And I'll be like, are you like,
yeah,
I, because I feel like I want everyone to have a good experience, and you almost feel like you don't want to let people down. Like, yeah, I want everyone around me to feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, if you and I are out to dinner and, like, and we have a third person and the third person's being, like, rude to the waiter, I'm overcompensating on their behalf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like, no, why am I taking on everyone else's shit?
I do the same thing, but I think here's what's important is, like, I can tell, like, you and I at, like, what we were trying to be normal is, like, nicer, kinder, more talkative than 90% of people. So it's like literally us just trying to like realize that that's okay, and we don't have to be like, like I said, at that 110. Yeah. So, you know, I'm just trying to like, and even like, I love when people say hi to me. It's my favorite thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I recognize I would not be anywhere without the support of, yeah, other people. But do I have to have like a 15-minute conversation and ask them like 8 questions, mm-hmm, and like give them my email and say, call me later, and this is where we're going? Like, I don't. And that's where I'm learning. And my friends used to joke with me, like, literally one time Elle and I were at Century City, and like, I had had like, this is like, it was funny. We were like the second time we ever hung out together. And this like happens sometimes, but it was like 5 people in like one day came up to say hi.
Yeah.
And which doesn't usually happen. I don't think I'm hot shit. I don't think I'm anyone famous.
It just happened to happen.
But, yeah. And I remember like, I am so talkative that literally by the 5th person, Ella literally, like, we were in the middle of saying goodbye and someone came up and I was like, hi, oh my God. I was like, and what position did you play? And do you come to this mall often? Oh. And what stores did you shop? What'd you get? I see your Free People bag. What'd you buy? Like, that's me. And Ella literally was like, and then literally we had a joke about it later. She was like, yeah, I saw someone come up and I said, got a blast. Like, I don't have 15. And so
she's like, I'm checked out.
And so I'm slowly starting to realize, like, I can say hi with a big smile, give a big hug, mm-hmm, say thank you so much. And like, if they want to take a photo, we'll take it.
Yeah.
But like, I don't have to, like, you know, ask the 20 questions.
You're giving a part of yourself to everyone. And like, that's a big energy drainer.
And well, like, it's funny because I can't even imagine like actually being famous, like actually being, yeah, like, you can't go to your local CVS. Like, even my mom now will be like, I would never think like any celebrity is like a bitch if they didn't say hi, or like, because I think growing up we all ran into a celebrity at some point, whether you're, yeah, at Disney World or you're visiting, and then like you're like, oh, they didn't say hi or they didn't take a photo. Like
they're tired of this. They want to, well, be left alone.
It's just crazy, like, thinking about how they can't leave their house. Like, I mean, I love Taylor Swift and I think about her and I'm like, uh-huh, oh my God, like,
it's crazy.
It's just so wild.
I know, I have so much empathy for people in the spotlight.
Wait, now I'm overthinking. I'm like, are people gonna listen? Like, who does this bitch think she is? Like,
no,
talking about people coming up,
no,
and saying hi.
Let's be honest, this is a very real thing that happens to you, and you're talking about literally being nice to people. Like, this is, I'll tell you an experience if it makes you feel any better, but like, I have the same thing where I want every single person I encounter in business, even if a brand hires me for a campaign, if someone, I'm like, I want to be besties with everyone, that when I go on a plane, half of my followers are people I've sat next to on a plane.
That's amazing. Because just slowly doing that work your whole life.
No, my friends are like, before I even had like a platform, my friends are like, we can't take you on a plane. I'm like, Joe Schmo, we're doing business together. Yeah. I'm getting their business card. I give so much of myself sometimes to people that I leave there and I'm like, first of all, sometimes it ends up being really good because that's, yeah, how you like connect with people. And then other times I'm like, who is like, who is this person that I'm following from 2012 I met on a plane?
My friend literally the other day was like, do you still follow that girl I met on that plane 7 years ago? I'm like, I know. Like, I just, and she's like, well, she just got engaged to that guy. You know, it's like, it's fine. Yeah. But I think like for me, a people pleaser at heart, raised by a people pleaser, yeah, like, it's been super a good exposure for me to be like, it's okay to be misunderstood. It's okay to not be liked by everybody. And it's okay to have a 2-minute interaction instead of a 10.
And it's okay to be human. And if you're in a bad mood, my thing that I like to do, I don't know if any, I didn't even learn this in therapy. It's just something like I've learned that works for me, which is great. And maybe it will work for you too, is if I'm in a bad mood, instead of just being bitchy to everyone around me, I'm so transparent. Like,
oh, me too.
I'll sit down and I'll be like, I just got my period today. I'm really on edge. Like, I kind of don't want to talk that,
yeah,
much.
No.
Like, I just let people know where I'm at.
I love that. And I think it's, like, the best thing. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve too.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I feel like I definitely have the self-confidence to communicate, like, this is not my best day, mm-hmm, you know? I think that's showing yourself grace is like, I can be at 60% today and not force myself to be at 100%.
100%. I want to do a little segment with you. So it's called the Sip It While You Spill It segment. And I am going to ask you some questions.
Okay.
You down?
I'm kind of scared.
No, they're good. They're good.
Sip it while you spill it. Grab a mug and take a seat. Where pop culture meets reality TV.
First of all, you're a huge Swiftie. What do you think about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce?
If they are together, allegedly, I am definitely a big fan. I see it, I love it, and I ship it.
Okay. I love it too, genuinely. Like, first of all, I always thought he was hot, and now I'm like, something's working for me. Like, I don't know, just these pictures of him. I'm like, I'm falling into the media trap of us romanticizing him.
It's the only guy with a mustache that I've, like, been about.
And, like, weirdly, I'm more into him with the mustache than without it.
He looks really good.
No, he looks really good because, like, when the old picture surfaces of him with the beard, I'm, like, not into it. And I'm like, why am I so into this mustache?
I love it.
No, I'm totally falling into everyone romanticizing them. I'm like, I'm such a sucker for marketing.
I'm committed.
I'm so committed. Okay, celebrity hall pass. Like, who's your number one celeb?
Oh, this is a good question.
And do you know your husband's?
My husband would say Gal Gadot, but he's just like, that's not true. Like, is she so hot and gorgeous?
Yeah. Yes.
But, like, I feel like he just, like, wants to have one, and he comes up with that.
Like, picked one.
Or he says, like, Hermione, like, at, like, peak when he was, like, in sixth grade watching Harry Potter.
Oh, I actually like that, like, when you're a child and you have this, like, I thought that the girl from Bring It On, like, growing up, was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And I remember now as an adult, I watch a movie. I'm like, where's that actress even been?
Yeah.
Like, the people that you idolize as a kid.
Yeah. No, but I want to give you a good answer. Can I, like, have a second to think?
Yeah. Think about it.
My celebrity hall pass. It was Bradley Cooper, Hangover 1.
Well, what do you think about him allegedly staying in Taylor Swift's Rhode Island home with Gigi Hadid?
I think it's so iconic. I would pay so much money to be in Taylor Swift's house and just, like, see the decor and, like, go through a drawer.
Also, like, Taylor Swift out here just being an Airbnb for celebs.
She is such a good person and a giving friend. Don't even get me started.
No, because I said this the other day where, oh, I was giving an interview with Bustle, and I was saying, I was like, I feel like Taylor Swift is out here, like, right, like, leading by example. She's like, oh, people don't like, what's his name, Austin Mahone's wife. Okay, I'm going to hang out with her. Brittany.
I've always been a Brittany stan.
Justice for Brittany, honestly. No, like, I'm like, why are people
I love her. She's just herself.
Yeah.
Honestly, anyone who's mean about another girl especially, it's, like, such a projection of, like, how you're feeling insecure. I feel like anyone I disliked when I was, like, younger, I just, like, thought they were skinnier than me or prettier than me. Like, it's all projection.
100%. And they're also just, like, maybe jealous of the life that she leads.
Yeah.
They're like, I want
just
that
think
life.
You need to check yourself if you say, she just bothers me. I don't know why she just bothers me. That's, like, misogyny rooted in
you. Do you know what really still gets me pissed about this, since we're in our little pop culture segment? When everyone was saying that about Meghan Markle when the documentary came out about the royals, I'm like, look, you could have a side. I get it. To just say, just something about her irks me. I'm like, why?
It's not a good enough reason.
Yeah. I'm like, you're another woman watching another woman who's talking about struggling, whether you believe it or not. Like, I choose to believe it. Do you know what I'm saying?
I just think feeling viscerally negative about a person you've never met is a type of emotion I hope to never tap into.
So true. Yeah. And also, my celebrity hall pass has always been Zac Efron.
Love that.
If we're talking about, like, timing wise, when did I really, like, when was I deep in it? I feel like post High School Musical.
Yeah, he looked too young in high school. I don't, like, need the flip on the hair. Like, when the flip went away.
Hairspray era.
Oh, my God. Zac Efron Hairspray. Yep.
Like, I mean, I've loved him forever because I aged with him.
Yeah.
So, like, when he was in High School Musical, I still was like, oh, I love him.
Yeah.
But
Hairspray is a good call.
Hairspray is a good call. Okay. Favorite reality TV show?
Love is Blind or Survivor.
Wait, I just, like, recently started watching Survivor with the guy that I'm dating. I mean, I've watched Survivor, but I got him into it.
Yeah.
And last night, we were with this girl who was on Survivor, my friend Lauren Ashley Beck. She was on like
a Lauren. Yeah. I've met her. She's great.
And he like isn't a reality TV watcher. And I was like, here's your chance. Ask her all your questions. And they just sat in a corner and he was like, how did the logistics work?
Oh my God, I love that. No, that's the stuff I'd be so interested. I really manifest. I want to go on Fox Special Forces.
Wait. Favorite show. I'm into reality competition shows, period.
I want to go on that show so bad.
You'll go on it. I feel it. Not to be weird, but like when you just said that, I see it. Like it's happening.
That's what people say.
No, it's happening.
Hey, Fox Special Forces.
Also, I did a partnership with them. I'm about to message them and be like, hey, so I have a good suggestion.
No, but here's the thing. You know how this industry works too? Like even when you ask me my celebrity crush, I'm like, who should I say that's not someone I would ever interview? Because it's like
100%.
I almost feel like if I did a brand deal with them, I'd put me in that category of not a celebrity household.
No, I agree.
Which I'm not, but
you
I'm like.
You can't accept it.
But I could be the 13th person in every season, every celebrity Dancing with the Stars. There's always like two no one knows. I'm happy to fulfill that role.
100. I literally, so my favorite like reality TV show of all time is The Challenge. Have you ever seen it?
I've heard I should.
If you like Survivor and you like Special Forces, you'll die for The Challenge.
Okay.
Like, you have to go back and like watch it. There's so many seasons. So I'm obsessed with The Challenge. And what happened was like The Challenge started bringing in people from other shows. So there's people from Love Island on there. There's people from Big Brother. There's people from Survivor.
Dude, I want to get on that circuit. I was thinking that the other day. How sick would it be to just like go on all the reality TV shows?
So that's and,
like,
why just I love it.
Continuously have. You would be great on reality TV. You're not single.
No, I'm just starting to see someone. Okay. But the only show I say I would ever do, like yours is Special Forces, mine is The Circle.
Okay.
Like I
can't follow that. My brain gets too confused. Like we're catfishing each other, but we're not. I don't know. I couldn't.
Well, this is why, because I used to be a publicist, so I'm super strategic. So like I've always been like, I want to go in as like a vapid influencer and then behind the scenes be like puppet master.
Ooh, I see that.
Like pulling the strings.
I love that.
Like because like I would be myself, but the catfish would be like, no, I'm smarter than
you think. Right. That you are the tree to your own tailor.
Yes, exactly. What's your favorite non-reality TV show?
My favorite non-reality TV show? Why am I thinking Big Little Lies? It was so good.
I wish
there was like 7 more seasons. It was so good.
I know. I feel like my like OG show is One Tree Hill. Have you seen it?
I did. I watched One Tree Hill back in the day.
Oh, I've watched it 19 times.
Yeah. Since. I remember it like vaguely, but I watched it like back in high school.
It was like, it's still everything to me. And The Vampire Diaries. I've rewatched it 18 times.
I used to love.
No, like okay, stops genuinely, mid-sentence. Like 6.
Okay, that's still a lot. I used to love Vampire Diaries.
Best. It's my comfort show.
But you
show.
Know where I tap out is like when they take it on for too long.
Same, like even Grey's Anatomy.
I'm like, once the who were the vampires that were like immortal that came? I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
Klaus.
Klaus. I'm like, you're losing me in the plot here.
No, I agree. Every show that I rewatch, there's a certain point where you hit that sweet spot where you're like, I'm tapped out.
Which is honestly not me like bitching that Big Little Lies should have been longer when I'm saying that. Yeah. Like, I think it could have given us 3 seasons, 4.
I agree. It could go. Also, did you watch Normal People in COVID?
No.
It was this Hulu show. If you want to like sob.
Okay.
Like if you need a good cry, nothing pulls at your heartstrings more than it's like this Irish show. It was like the most beautifully shot show I've ever seen.
Okay.
It was like a phenomenon. It's where that guy, Paul Mescal, I want to say is his name. He was in it. It was so good, and it was only 1 season. And like that's the kind of show where I'm like, I could watch this the rest of my life.
Okay, Normal People.
I really like highly suggest it.
Okay, when I feel like
it's
crying,
it's like deep and dark and like touching. It's like all of the things. It touches on everything.
Love that.
All right. Well, it was fun to do a little pop culture with you. Where can everyone like stay up to date and follow you and all that?
Well, if they aren't annoyed with my voice at this point, they can listen to my podcast, Real Pod, wherever they listen and stream. And then my Instagram is just. And TikTok is Victoria Brown, and you'll find everything
else
there.
Love it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
This was so fun. Yeah.